Welcome to Podcast Arena. I'm Michael Ray Serber, your host. This is the first episode. It's not going to be very long. Just want to introduce the show. This will be coming out whenever I feel like I have something I kind of want to get off my chest, talk about, bring on friends. The first thing we're going to talk about is cycling. The Tour de France starts this weekend. If you've listened to Hand in the Dirt or Shutdown Fullcast, you may know that I'm mildly obsessed with cycling. You may not know, I haven't had a bike for very long, though. Of course, I rode a bike growing up as a kid, and that's, in fact, when I got into cycling as a sport and spectator of that sport. I was an Andy Schleck fan in the Schleck-Contador rivalry. I pulled for the Schleck super hard when they were on Saxo Bank, when they went to their own team, Leopard Trek. And I was super bummed when Andy wrecked his knee and broke his pelvis and couldn't ride anymore. I kind of fell out of cycling fandom for a little while under the Team Sky reign of Chris Froome. It just wasn't very entertaining. The train, right? The Sky train. There was a cool riders that I rooted for, like Romain Bardet, who just retired at the Dauphiné. He was kind of my guy. He had such panache when he would attack and was kind of fearless on the descents, and he was cool. The year he finished third, I can't remember off the top of my head what season that was, but it felt like he had a shot because he was within like 30 seconds the entire race. And then just kind of got outdone in that final time trial, which wasn't his strong suit. All that to say, I really fell back in love with the sport when Tadej Pogačar won. My grandfather is from Slovenia, ethnically Slovenian, I guess is what you would say. At the time when he was born, there was Yugoslavia. And so I thought it was really cool that this small country that I had this random connection to had this just otherworldly athlete coming out of nowhere. And then when Pogačar got beaten by Jonas Vingegaard, I never really know how to say it, and as an American, I always just feel dumb either way. Like, I just feel like there's probably people who are going to laugh at the way I say it. But that's how I said it. Anyway, it kind of, I was like, whoa, there's this other dude, this other alien, this Danish alien. And they're both so good looking. And they ride time trials out of their skin. Meanwhile, Remco Evenepoel kind of comes along, underperforms, I would say, in his first Giro d'Italia, but like bounces back and wins a Vuelta where Primoz Roglic was kind of non-existent, and then ultimately crashed out. Like, he was riding into form, and by the time he got into form, he crashed out, and Remco kind of walked away with it. And the next time he did the Vuelta, he had like a terrible day where he lost like a half an hour, which kind of feels like it could always happen, which is maybe why Soudal Quick-Step has been so cautious going into this Tour de France. You may want to go back and listen to the last episode of the Shutdown Fullcast if you want a primer for any of this, because I'm just kind of going right now. I think this race is going to look wildly different in week one from week two. If you look at the stages, the first four, there's a couple opportunities for the sprinters, but like second and third stage, the second and fourth stage, kind of like wide open for a guy like Julian Alaphilippe, Matthew Vanderpoel, maybe even like Remco is able to do something there. But like Pogačar could honestly wreck the field at that point too and start the time trial in the yellow jersey, which would be, he would have an interesting kind of perspective on what's going on in front of him with Remco Evenepoel if he's ahead of him. Evenepoel put in 45 seconds to Pogačar on a 17-kilometer time trial with a slight little bump in it. This one's mostly flat. Like, this is his terrain. He's the world champion. I think if he doesn't take a minute on Pogačar, like, that's a big failure. Ultimately, for him to compete for the yellow jersey, Remco Evenepoel's got to take, like, a minute and a half, 2 minutes on both of those guys and then have an otherworldly performance from a team, which is, like, very undermanned right now. A lot of talent, right? Tim Merlier, the European champion, but he's going to be useless in, after what, stage nine, there's gonna be no help for the GC battle. He's kind of like Soudal Quick-Step hedging their bet. Also, they brought him to the team and haven't taken him to the Tour. He's been paid a lot of money to never ride the Tour de France. They've backed themselves into a bit of a corner while trying to build a Grand Tour team around Remco, where now, you know, they're leaving out climbers in favor of a guy that can win some stages. He's really fast. Jonathan Milan's probably faster. I think he's got a good track record against Jasper Philipsen, but like, Milan might dominate this thing. Philipsen's got a great leadout train. That's the other thing. Like, well, Soudal doesn't bring a full train. They brought like a leadout man for him. I don't understand why they did that, frankly. I think Merlier is fine surfing the wheels and would have done well with even like Einkorn being the guy that leads him out instead of Bert van Lerberg or however you say his name. Once again, I'm going to butcher all these names. I'm sorry. I practice how to say them sometimes when I'm playing this stupid video game Pro Cycling Manager. Like, I'll see it. I'm like, yeah. But I don't want to. You ever see Joe Dirt when he says Dirte? I don't want it. I don't want somebody to be like, don't church it up, boy. It's not Bert van Lerberge. It's Van Lerberg. I don't know. I'm really excited for this Tour, though. I think Remco might be in the yellow jersey after the fifth stage. The Mer de Bretagne kind of seems like a trap for him. It's a very Flesh Wallonne type of climb. You know, the Mer de Huy, right? Like, similar, and it's so steep, so fast, and so short. He doesn't tend to excel at those. Like a Liège-Bastogne-Liège type finish, which there are stages like, suits him. Although he's never beaten Pogacar in one of those types of races head-to-head. I did see something, I think it was Stefan Kuhn from the Dauphiné, just talking about how, like, he pulls so fucking hard and then all of a sudden expects somebody to come through and they're like, dude, no, I can't. You are a murderer. It's like, we can stay in your wheel, but we can't even go around you. It's, you know, he did say he was going to attack this race a little differently. Like, he was going to actually race, which is funny because last year he said Vingegaard didn't have the balls to race on a stage. It kind of seems like Remco hasn't had the balls to race on a mountain stage. Really, like, always feels like he's consolidating. Until, like, the end of the Dauphiné, he made a little dig, and it was, like, not impressive, unfortunately. But maybe he's riding himself into form. I think there's a chance he's not on the podium this year. And I think it might have a lot more to do with the accident that happened last winter where he got fucking doored and broke a bunch of bones. It's also wild, the expectations that are placed on these riders. Like, why do you think he lost 9 minutes to Pogacar and, you know, 6 minutes to Vingegaard, and Vingegaard lost like three or four minutes to Pogacar in last year's Tour? Well, it's because they were in like life-threatening accidents a few months before. But the expectation for these guys is to like heal up and go win the Tour de France. It's kind of why Pogacar didn't win it those two times, right? A little bit of an injury, disrupts training. Vingegaard and Pogacar appear to be fully fit. And I think it's going to be a two-horse race. Primoz Roglic seems extremely depressed, which makes me very sad because he's such a awesome guy. He just has trouble staying upright throughout these tours. I think if he was to go to the Vuelta and win it, he would tie or take the outright lead for most Vuelta wins. I think that this could be a tour where we don't have anyone within 10 minutes of those guys. Unless there's a Bardet-esque break from the 2015 tour. Like when he went on a big break on a rainy day, tacked on a descent, gained a bunch of time, and clawed into second place in a kind of fluke kind of way. So maybe that happens. Maybe somebody gets in within 7 minutes or something. But I think Vingegaard and Pogacar are going to be super tight at the top. I'll drop some more episodes throughout the tour, especially when something super interesting happens. But for now, subscribe. Tick the little notification thing wherever you get this, and you'll know when new ones are coming, and I'll be sure to post about it on Blue Sky. hope you like listening to this and look forward to more. Okay, bye.